Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker, Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. I have two guests this morning. My first guest is Angela Shrimp, and she's an attorney. And my second guest is Robbie Ricks. He's the owner of a local franchise in Sacramento called Fast Signs, and we'll be talking to Robbie a bit later on in the show. As I mentioned, Angela's an attorney with Damrell, Nelson, Shrimp, Pelios, Packer, and Sylvia. And I think I've sent that wrong, Silver. I just call it as Damrell, keep it real simple, which is really good because their website address is www.damrell.com. So if you want to get hold of Angela, just go to the website, www.damrell.com, D-A-M-R-E-L-L.com. So Angela's an attorney. She specializes in business law, and we're talking about managing business risk. So that's my conversation with Angela in a moment. And as I mentioned, Robbie Ricks is a local franchisee with Fast Signs near Watt Avenue and Fair Oaks Boulevard. And guess what? They make signs fast. So Robbie is a pretty cool guy, and has a lot of good marketing techniques. So I thought it'd be fun to have Robbie on the show and talk about marketing and what he does with Fast Sign. This show is available to download from my website. So if you're out driving and you hear something that's of interest to you, you're welcome to visit my website. It'll be there later this afternoon or tomorrow morning. And simply go to www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, and you will see the show there and available to listen to at your leisure. If you've got questions about buying a business or selling a business, that's what I do. Give me a call, 916-570-2674. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. And these topics include finance, legal issues like we're discussing today, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing, which we're also talking about to say. Or as I like to say, this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers and certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm also the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Start Your Business, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Again, if you'd like more information, visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. Each week I like to mention an event, and last week I had a guest on my show, Eric Anderton, and Eric's involved with a local company that's putting a marketing package together. So if you have a business and you're thinking that it's time to get a marketing makeover, then you've got an opportunity to get it for free. There's about $40,000 worth of free marketing that's going into this makeover. And you have to make an application, and I'll give you the website address in a minute, but it's totally free. So if you're like some marketing help with your business, want to take it to a next level, the promotion they're doing is called a marketing makeover. And again, you must apply by August 30th. You go to the website, marketingmakeover.net. So it's .net, not .com. So marketingmakeover.net. No cost to apply. You go in there, tell them a little bit about your business and the help you need. And then you'll join the people that have applied, and they'll do a screening and decide who they want to help with their marketing makeover. But it includes professionals that do marketing on a professional basis. So lots of good ideas. If you're looking for more information, if you're looking to finance a business, just closed a transaction last week with somebody getting an SBA loan. And I wrote a blog this morning about how to choose the right SBA lender. So if you're in the market for an SBA loan and want some more information, you're welcome to visit my website and look at my blog. I published the blog this morning. It's called How to Choose the Right SBA Lender. It may have some tips and more information in there for you. So my first guest this morning, young lady Angela Shrimp. I've known Angela for about 6 or 7 years now, and had a good relationship with Angela. She's been very helpful with some business deals I've done. So I thought it'd be fun to have her here and come and talk about what she does. So Angela, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew.
Thank you for coming in. I just enjoy working with you, the help you provide clients. You're very very sensitive to people's needs, and I've worked with other attorneys that are more about the law and legalities, whereas Angela is there's a personal and a human side to her. So I really enjoy that. Tell me a little bit about you've been doing law for a number of years. Tell me a little bit about what got you into law in the first place.
Well, my father's an attorney,
And growing up, I worked in his firm. When I was in college, I thought to myself, well, I'd like to do something other than that. And I explored some different avenues during that time. But I kept coming back to the law, the legal work. And really what I saw an attorney's role as being is somebody who can help people solve their problems and help them from an analytical framework to use the tools available, but also kind of help them through issues that they may face in their businesses. So that's, I made the decision to go to law school, and I've enjoyed practicing ever since.
And it's your dad's been an attorney most of his life, is that right?
Yes. Yeah. He's been practicing at this point probably in excess of 40 years.
40 years, yeah. So not sure whether having the conversation with your dad, I'm sure it helped you decide where you wanted to be and what you wanted to do.
I think so.
Yeah. What area of the law have you decided to focus on? Because the law covers covers every aspect in society. What's been your focus?
I have a general business practice, so most of my clients are small, medium, and large businesses, and I provide whatever services they may need. Sometimes that's transactional. Sometimes it involves litigation, but it is essentially everything related to businesses and their needs.
And what was the reason you chose that area of law? Was there a particular interest or just something that piqued your attention?
I don't know that I necessarily chose it as I fell into it. When I first came out of law school, I was practicing in the area of real estate law. And when I moved to Sacramento, I joined a smaller firm. And our practice was really centered on helping businesses and working with business owners. And I found that I really enjoy that work. I like the human aspect.
Right.
I like the variety. And I really like helping people be successful.
Yep. And when you say you moved to Sacramento, you haven't moved too far away. Where did you grow up originally?
I grew up in Oakdale.
Yeah.
Which is down by Modesto.
Right. What, about an hour from here? Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And what makes a good attorney? What do you think are some of the attributes that somebody should look for in a good attorney?
I think the most important factor is finding somebody that you can communicate with, because if the attorney can't communicate with you and explain to you what it is that you need or how to apply the law to your situation, then the attorney really can't be helpful for you. So I really would strive to look for a good communicator and somebody with whom you are comfortable working.
And that's one of the reasons that I've enjoyed working with Angela. She's helped me with probably four or five transactions over the years, and I've recommended it to people, and I've done so because she breaks things down and makes things clear. And it's so critical, because people are getting into a situation sometimes where they're uncomfortable, and if it's not clear what's being done and why, and the person doesn't feel comfortable with the decision they're making, it just adds to the stress of the situation. So that's one of the things I think you do the best, and certainly one of the reasons why I keep making recommendations to you.
Thank you.
No, that's good. The topic we chose to talk about this morning is about business risk. And my producer is waving a finger at me saying I've got 1 minute. So I think what I might do is rather than get into the topic, I think what we'll do is we'll head into a break. And when we come back from break, we'll talk about business risk and how it applies in a legal situation. So I'm talking with Angela Shrimp, Angela, an attorney, and when we're back from break, I've got some questions for Angela about business risk.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Here's Dale Hendry, general manager of this radio station, to tell you about an exciting program. Half-price tuitions at some of the area's best Christian schools. Preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school tuitions.
Listeners have thanked me personally because this half-price tuition program has allowed them to send their sons and daughters to Christian school. If you or someone you know could benefit from our half-price tuition program, please have them go to crazyprice.com to check out the program. Capital Christian Center Schools, Lutheran High School, and others are featured. It is an incredible value for an incredible education.
Go to crazypricemall.com. Only a limited number available and restrictions apply. Half off tuitions at some of the best Christian schools featured for a limited time at crazypricemall.com.
They said it would be so super easy.
Who?
You know, they.
Oh, you met them?
Yes, they.
Mm. Oh, they, that they.
Yes,
the people who say.
Yeah, long name,
amazing results.
Results.
Yeah, I know.
The SacramentoHelpWanted.com people.
I love them. I posted my resume in minutes, searched hundreds of local jobs.
And you found a job.
Thanks to them, I did.
They.
Ah, I always wondered who they were.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Now I know.
Welcome to Linda's Javapalooza. I'm Linda.
Wow, this is huge.
57,000 square feet of potential employees. What are you looking for?
Retail.
All the way in the back. Turn left when you hit the IT guys.
Thank you.
We know this is ridiculous, but we're making a point. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. And if you're an employer looking for qualified local employees with experience in retail all in one place, don't go here.
There was nobody back there.
Did you turn left at the IT guys?
They weren't there either.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Angela Shrimp. And as we were talking about before break, Angela's an attorney, and the topic we're going to talk about was business risk. And I know that's a fairly broad subject, so tell me your thoughts on business risk, and we can go from there.
Sure, Andrew. My thinking this morning was that what I would like to talk about are the reasons that somebody might want to form a limited liability company or maybe a corporation. I get a lot of new business owners who come to me and say, look, I'm starting this business. I think I need to form one of these entities. And really, before we can form an entity, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what type of risks is this particular business going to be exposed to? And is there a reason to impose the limited liability layer of either an LLC or a corporation into this business? So the first question we typically look at is, what types of risks is this business going to be facing? And from my perspective as an attorney, there are really two categories of risk. There are what I'm going to call insurable risks and uninsurable risks. Insurable risks are those types of risks that you can buy insurance for. And uninsurable risks are those types of risks that you cannot buy insurance for. Risks that you can insure against. If you own a store and somebody walks into your store and they trip and fall and they hurt their foot, that's typically a risk that's going to be covered by your liability insurance. If you provide services, perhaps you're an architect, you can buy errors and omissions insurance to cover you in the event you design a building that is unstable and falls down. Those are the types of risks that are insurable. Uninsurable risks are generally risks that you assume by signing a contract. The risk that you assume when you sign your lease is not insurable. If you sign a lease for 10 years and you cannot stay in your space for that 10 years and you leave at year 7, you have a risk. You have a liability for the damages associated with breaching that contract. You cannot buy insurance to cover yourself on that. You have risks when you sign a line on a line of credit, when you sign that line to the loan, to a loan officer. You have risks to your vendors when you buy product from them, to pay them for that product. Those types of risks you cannot insure against. And those are typically the types of risks that we would want to focus on in deciding whether or not a business has enough of those risks to warrant forming either a corporation or a limited liability company.
So that's the value you bring there. If it's an insurable risk, pretty straightforward. Go and talk to an insurance company and get some quotes and manage that risk. But if you're signing a contract and you're getting into a layer of risk that's more legalistic in terms of the contract you're signing, how do you help somebody work through that risk, though, the actual risk of the legal risk they're exposed to with the different contracts they're looking at?
Well, we usually sit down and talk about the type of business that the business owner is engaged in. We talk about what they do on a day-to-day basis, who they've signed contracts with, and it's usually a fairly easy question to answer. Most everybody, unless they're working out of their house, is going to have a lease obligation. They typically have obligations to lenders. And really, beyond that, you have to look at the particular business and ask the, I usually ask the business owner, what type of contracts are you signing? We might look at those contracts and make a determination there. Another factor that comes into play is how many employees does the business have? Because as soon as you start hiring employees, that brings with it some fairly significant risks. There are some insurance products that are available to cover certain types of losses and claims that can be brought by employees, but not all types of claims are coverable or easily insurable, I should say. And sometimes there's a cost-benefit analysis on that issue, too. What is it going to cost me to incorporate? How much is it going to cost me to maintain the corporation balanced against how much is it going to cost me to buy employment practices liability insurance?
So if somebody's looking to sign a lease, let's talk about signing a lease. Do they have much bargaining power when they're signing a lease? Does, you know, if the landlord is the person providing the legal document, they've written it because they've had their attorney write that document. Is it negotiable, or is it pretty much what you get is what you get?
Well, every situation is different, but typically speaking, the tenant is not in a strong negotiating position, and if the business that's going into signing the lease, if their only contractual risks are signing a lease and an SBA loan or some sort of a line of credit, then typically speaking, even if that individual has incorporated and formed a corporation, they're going to have to personally guarantee both the lease and the line of credit.
Yep. And I guess the risk changes with the market. If the market's more soft as it is right now, does that help the tenant negotiate things?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what are some of the things that you look for as an attorney? What are some of the things that stand out that you're looking for when you first see the original lease doc? Anything there that you're starting to focus on quickly?
Sure. If somebody asks me to take a look at a lease, typically what I'm going to focus on is, what is the tenant responsible for paying? What is the tenant able to use the property for? And are there any restrictions on the tenant's use that are going to limit what the tenant wants to do in that space? So within those categories, focusing on what the tenant is obligated to pay, the rent is usually fairly straightforward.
Right.
And most business owners are aware of that and catch that straight out.
Yep.
What is a little bit less clear are generally what's referred to as common area maintenance expenses.
Yep.
Usually tenants are required to pay additional money that goes towards the maintenance of the common areas in the property. The question that I have is whether or not those expenses, and the expenses typically increase annually.
Right.
Are there any caps on those annual increases? Are there some large capital improvements that need to be done to the property in the near future that are likely to get passed through to the tenants? Because no tenant wants to see a 50% increase in their common area maintenance fee come through the following year. The other item that I focus on is that if that amount does increase or comes out higher than expected, how long does the tenant have to pay it?
Right.
Many leases give a tenant 10 days, and that's just not enough time for an unexpected expense like
sure.
that.
Yeah, I was helping somebody sell a business recently, and the common area maintenance fees were extraordinarily high. They were divided amongst certain tenants, but some tenants were excluded, and they weren't aware of that. So there was an anchor tenant that didn't contribute to the common area maintenance expenses, and so the rest of the smaller tenants did, and it just made the fees incredibly high, and it wasn't caught until after everyone had signed their lease. So that was a very frustrating experience. Does a tenant have some recourse in that sort of situation, do you think, or not?
It would depend. Okay. It would be better to catch it
right.
at the time the tenant entered into the lease.
Right. Okay.
There are legal theories that could be asserted that would be very fact-specific, dependent on the circumstance.
Yep.
But it really is always better to catch it up front than on the back end.
Okay. So I know I've had Angela do presentations before. She talks about hiring employees and the risks that go with employees, and that's one of the places that many employers get caught. Do you have a set of suggestions that you offer somebody that's getting into business and looking at hiring employees? That's, you know, some of the things they should look at.
The biggest area where I see business owners getting tripped up is on California's wage and hour laws, and understanding who must be paid on an hourly basis and get paid overtime, who does not need to be paid on an hourly basis and receive overtime, and then how you calculate meal and rest period breaks. Those seem to be the easiest ways that employers get tripped up, and some of the most complex analyses that an employer has to go through.
Okay. So if somebody's thinking of going to business and they're looking at hiring employees, you could put together a package of things from look at like an employee manual and those sorts of things. Is that part of what you'd help them with?
Absolutely. And it is something that I can help with.
Okay.
It depends on how many employees they're looking at hiring. I always want to take a look at the cost-benefit analysis. What are the risks that the business owner is taking, and does it make sense at this point in time to have a full policy manual? Does it make sense to just implement a few policies, make sure we're following the wage and hour laws, et cetera?
And what else is there? Other things that if somebody's hiring employees, other things they should look at that are important to cover?
It depends on the issue that comes up. You know, employees are people, and people are unpredictable. So you find a lot of different situations and scenarios that perhaps you might not have been expecting when you first start hiring employees.
Right.
There are some fabulous resources available. The California Chamber of Commerce publishes an annual guide to California labor laws, and it can be purchased from their website. And I have strongly suggested a number of my clients go purchase that publication, because it is very helpful and informative on California labor laws. It covers wage and hour. It covers leave laws, which is another area that people have difficulty understanding when you're required to grant an employee leave for their illness, a child's illness, a pregnancy. The rules are very different for each circumstance, and those are all well covered in that publication.
So if somebody's going to business, are these good reasons to form a corporation to try and protect yourself from these lease liabilities and employee liabilities, or it's not really going to help with that situation?
Forming a corporation or a limited liability company will absolutely protect in the employment arena.
Okay.
The leasing arena, it depends on who's on the lease. If the corporation is the tenant and the owner has not been asked to personally guarantee, then the corporation will provide a liability shield in the event of a breach of contract.
Okay.
If there's a personal guarantee, then unfortunately, there's personal liability regardless of the corporation.
So what are some of the other reasons to form an LLC or a corporation? What are some other reasons, protection from employment situations? That's a good reason. What other reasons are there to consider the idea?
Protection against vendors. I would say, depending on the type of business you're in, if you have a lot of financial obligations that are owed to vendors that are not guaranteed, then that might be another reason there too.
Yep.
The other categories, I've been assuming that the business we're talking about is owned by one individual.
Okay.
That's often not the case.
Sure.
If the business is owned by more than one person, then some sort of agreement needs to be reached between the two people as to how they're going to manage the business. And that will require them to form some sort of an entity, even if it's a simple partnership.
Okay. And a partnership, that's just an option available. They've got LLC option, they've got a corporation option, or a partnership option?
Correct. The partnership option provides no liability shield to the company's creditors, but it does provide an agreement between the two owners as to how profits and losses are going to be treated between themselves, what work each is going to do, and how money will be divided.
And I've always heard you say that one of the most important things when you come into a partnership or when two or more people come together is to do a buy-sell agreement.
Yes, that addresses the situation. If one of the individuals wants to leave, the buy-sell agreement obligates or at least gives the other owner an option to purchase the ownership interest of the person who's leaving. And most small business owners want that kind of control over their business operation, and it just provides certainty to both parties in the event of changed circumstances down the road.
Angela, thanks for coming this morning. It's 10:30, our time's come and gone. Appreciate you being here. If you've got questions for Angela, give her a call, 916-504-3700, and her website address, www.damrell.com. Angela's a great attorney. I'd recommend you give her a call if you have a legal issue. We'll be back from break shortly. We'll be right back.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
U.S. stocks advance. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. U.S. stocks rose as companies from Eastman Chemical to Herbalife raised their forecast for full-year profit, and investors await results from the Fed's two-day policy meeting. In economic news, home prices rose by the most in more than 7 years. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The S&P Case-Shiller Index of property values rose 12.2% in May from a year earlier. That's the biggest 12-month increase since March 2006. Historically low borrowing costs, short supply, and an improving job market are driving prices higher. The home price index has been on the rise since June 2012. Separately, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index declined this month as gasoline prices increased. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
The Dow is up 13 points to 15,535. S&P 500 index up 0.2% to 1688. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
There are three things AARP does not want you to know, but AMAC, the conservative alternative to AARP, believes you absolutely should know. First, AARP was and is actively involved in the fight for gun control. Second, your AARP membership dollars support federally funded abortion. How? Because the third and probably most important thing AARP does not want you to know is, according to the House Ways and Means Committee investigation, they stand to make over $1 billion through increased Medicaid and Medicare supplement royalties as a direct result of Obamacare. And guess what? They've invested over $20 million supporting it. Who are they working for on that deal? You? America? Themselves? There is an alternative. AMAC. The Association of Matured American Citizens. AMAC fights for you, not for their own profits, for America as we know it and love it. And AMAC gives you benefits previously only available through AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you, better for America. Join today. Call 888-262-2006. That's 888-262-2006. Or visit www.amac.us.
Are you intrigued by commercial real estate but want a dependable, solid return you can count on as supplemental or retirement income? Call today to set your no-obligation appointment with Steve Harper, Managing Director of KW Commercial and host of the Straight Talk Real Estate Hour. Steve will take you through proven strategies and tailor an option for you. Call Steve at 916-798-1116. That's 798-1116. California DRE Brokers License Number 01267541.
This is Chris Hedrick with Big Valley Mortgage and co-host of Straight Talk Real Estate Hour. With the frequency of changes in loan programs, costs, down payment requirements, and overall credit qualifications, getting a home loan may seem daunting if not impossible. My commitment to you is to ease this process, communicate throughout the transaction, and above all, give you transparency and assurance. Let me and my team provide you with the first-class service that you deserve. Call me today at 916-969-6537. That's 916-969-6537. Or visit me at my website, bvmhometeam.com. Be a part of the winning team. Join the BVM Home Team for your next purchase or refinance. NMLS 222-374, DRE 0145700.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5. FM.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my second guest has just come on board, and his name is Robbie Ricks. Robbie, good morning.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for having me on today.
I'm glad to have you here, and I thought it was fun to have Robbie come in because he's a franchise owner. And he's here in Sacramento. He's on the corner, near the corner of Watt Avenue and Fair Oaks Boulevard. About two stores. There's a Starbucks in there. Well, actually, there's a what's the complex called?
It's called the Arden Town Center. It's confusing because people think it's near Arden Way, but it's the Arden Town Center. It's at the intersection of Watt and Fair Oaks.
Okay.
In between Starbucks and there's a Verizon Wireless store there.
Okay. And there's quite a few other shops in there as well. There's
yes.
A couple of restaurants there. Danielle's and...
Danielle's and Plan B, and there's a Beach Hut Deli.
Yeah.
There's Florist. There's several businesses
it's
in there.
It's a happening place. So,
yes.
So Robbie's a franchise owner, and the franchise is called Fast Signs. So I have to guess from that name, Robbie, that you may do something with signs. Is that right?
That's right. We make signs. We make them fast. The franchise has been in existence since about 1985, I think.
Okay, 85. Okay. And you've been a franchise owner for about 14 years.
I'm in my 14th year as owner-operator.
How did you get into the franchise? What was your background? What did you decide to?
Well, that's a real interesting story. And growing up in high school, I wanted to be, well, back then it reveals my age. I wanted to be what was called a commercial artist. Now we call them graphic designers, but I always wanted to be a graphic designer. And when I went to college, I found out that graphic designers per se didn't really make a lot of money.
Right.
So I changed my direction and went into outside sales. And I've been in outside sales for 30 years, or 25, 30 years.
Yep.
And my brother actually started with Fast Signs. He was like one of the original employees of the company. He sold franchises, and this is back in 1985. And I was very intrigued with the idea because I thought also, I need to explain to you that when I was in college, I worked for Raley's Supermarkets.
Wow.
And I worked in their sign shop, and I absolutely loved it. Mm. But it didn't work out. I changed paths, but always had my heart and wanted to do graphic design and things like that. So when this opportunity came up, I tried several ways to figure out how I could get a franchise, it just didn't work out, so I just stayed in sales. And then back in 2000, the opportunity came where my brother was wanting to exit the business, and so I purchased the business from my brother.
And so you've been in Sacramento most of your life then?
Well, I was raised in Sacramento from I was 4 years old, and then I relocated back about 1989 to the Bay Area and lived in the Contra Costa County in San Ramon for about 8 years, and then sold my home there, which enabled me to get the money to make a down payment on the franchise.
And you moved back to Sacramento?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Working at Raley's and doing the graphic design work there, was that instrumental in helping you decide what you wanted to do in life? In terms of, you were talking before about doing the work there at Raley's and the design work.
Well, it was something that I really enjoyed. I did the screen printing for them, and I made the handmade signs and things like that. Back then, they only had about 30 stores, and their office was in downtown Sacramento. And I just remembered while I was working there, I just really loved the working there.
Do you think somebody needs to have a graphic design background to be a successful Fast Sign franchisee?
Absolutely not. In fact, Michael Gerber in his book, E-Myth Revisited, he says that's probably one of the biggest problems with entrepreneurs is they like to do something, so they start the business.
Right.
And he actually says that they'd be better off not knowing anything about the business, because what happens and the downfall of most business owners is they end up working in the business and not on the business,
right.
And I'm certainly guilty of that myself.
I think it's intriguing. Michael Gerber, he's written some good books, The E-Myth and then The E-Myth Revisited, mm-hmm. And he really, one of his penchants is that taking a business and systemizing everything, and that's been one of the success to the fast food industry, where they take a concept and they literally write policy procedures for everything. How long to cook the fries, how long to make the burger, how long to heat the bun, and they build a business around it. And
that's the science behind franchising, is that they've got a system, a proven system that's been tried and true and works.
Right.
And that's works for me as well.
Is that part of the Fast Signs model, that they have procedures and policies and things written down?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So that's a great thing for you as a franchisee, because mm-hmm. it gives you comfort that if the recipe's followed, the chances of success are good. Have I got that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the biggest challenges as a business owner, I remember when I was in outside sales, the only thing I had to worry about was one thing, selling. So I could focus and concentrate strictly on selling.
Right.
Now, as a business owner, you have to worry about marketing, selling, hiring, making sure that the products produce installed correctly. There's just a gamut of things. So it's very easy as a business owner to lose your focus in getting stuck and doing everything.
Right.
And that's probably, I would say that's my biggest challenge as a business owner, is trying to juggle everything.
Right.
And as soon as I've been doing at it for 14 years, someday I might get it right.
Perfect. Yeah. How many employees do you have? You've got a few employees.
I have five employees, including myself. I have a graphic designer. I have two production workers, and I have two customer service representatives.
Okay, so you've got a handful of problems there in itself. So that's a lot to take care of.
Yes.
Yeah. You probably says yes.
Mm-hmm.
So the work you're doing at Franchise, at Fast Signs, you're responsible for bringing in the business? That's part of the role of the franchisee?
Well, that's one of my big jobs. It's to hire people to do that for me. And we've had some successes. We've had some failures, like anybody, and that's something we're always working on, is trying to get employees that are proactive rather than reactive. I can find anybody that can answer the phone and take an order. What business owners need is they need employees that will not only write the order but get the order.
So where do you spend your time then? You're working 50, 60 hours a week, which is what most small business guys do. Where do you spend the bulk of your time?
Well, it's kind of embarrassing. I'm telling you things I probably shouldn't be doing. I spend sometimes doing delivery, which is good because I get to meet the customers and cement the relationship a little bit more. I do spend some time on installations, which I shouldn't be doing as a business owner. I once had this idea that what I should do as a business owner, I should be wearing a shirt and tie so that, you know, when I'm out installing a sign, what am I trying to say? When I'm dressed in a shirt and a tie and I'm installing a sign, you know, everybody knows I'm a fool. If I'm not dressed with and nobody knows I'm a fool.
Right.
So the idea is that I shouldn't be doing some of the things I'm doing.
Right. But that's the pressures of a business, of a small business owner, that you want to take care of certain customers for whatever reason, or there's a shortage of time for other people, so you step in where there's a gap and you fill the gap.
Yes.
And that's just the joys of being a business owner. What's the focus of the business, Fast Sign? It's obviously making signs, but I think there's more to it than that. What else do you do there?
Well, we've through the years that I've been there, they've changed the tagline. It used to be signs done right on time. Then there was for a quality sign. There are several different taglines, but now our new tagline is Fast Signs, more than fast, more than signs. And so we're getting into the area of just business branding and utilizing social media and helping customers use social media, mobile websites. We're making a big push to get into digital signage, digital displays. We do ADA signs, all the other types of signs. The only thing that we don't do here in Sacramento is big electrical signs.
Okay.
We kind of try to stay away from the electrical signs.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask you more about your marketing techniques when we come back from break. But before we head to break, we're going to head to a break right now. So my guest this morning is Robbie Ricks. Robbie's with Fast Signs near Watt Avenue and Fair Oaks Boulevard. His web address is www.fastsigns.com/112. And you can get some more information there. Got some more questions from Robbie when we come back from break.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Here's Dale Hendry, general manager of this radio station, to tell you about an exciting program, half-price tuitions at some of the area's best Christian schools, preschool, elementary, middle school, and high school tuition.
Listeners have thanked me personally because this half-price tuition program has allowed them to send their sons and daughters to Christian school. If you or someone you know could benefit from our half-price tuition program, please have them go to crazyprice.com to check out the program. Capital Christian Center Schools, Lutheran High School, and others are featured. It is an incredible value for an incredible education.
Go to crazypricemall.com. Only a limited number available and restrictions apply. Half off tuitions at some of the best Christian schools featured for a limited time at crazypricemall.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Control! We can see socks for miles.
I'm sorry, Lunar One. Did you say socks?
Miles and miles of socks.
Like we wear on our feet.
Roger, Control. The socks appear to cover the entire dark side of the moon.
In pairs?
No, just random socks and giant, fierce mountains of dryer lint.
The search is over! Yeah!
There are some things you can search for and never ever find, but when it comes to finding a local job, SacramentoHelpWanted.com has made the search super easy and free.
Do you see any purple argyle?
Search by keywords or phrases to find hundreds of jobs in accounting, HR, recruiting, retail, or healthcare or IT, and post your resume in minutes.
Lots of tube socks and a holy cow, there is a river of knee-highs.
I guess the search is over. Check us out. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Are you sure you don't see any purple argyles?
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Thank you, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. My guest this morning is Robbie Ricks, and Robbie's with the local Fast Signs franchise. He's near the corner of Watt Avenue and Fair Oaks Boulevard. And so if you've got a need for a sign, give Robbie a call. His phone number is 916-488-4222, 916-488-4222, or his website, www.fastsigns.com/112, and I think the 112 is your franchise number or store
number. Yeah, that's the store number. Yeah. We have right now, I think, over 500 franchises throughout the United States, and I'm store number 112.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think your business would be a good sign of how the economy is doing. So what do you see happening right now in the Sacramento economy? Are things getting better or staying the same? What are you seeing?
Well, I think there's still a lot of uncertainty, but I am seeing a reemergence and emergence in construction. It used to be for years and years and years, construction was our largest category. We'd build site signs and safety signs and all different types of signs for the construction industry. And that was always our largest business category. And when the recession or depression, whatever you want to call it, hit,
right,
that all disappeared.
Yeah.
And it dropped way back. But we're starting to see that come back quite a bit. And that's a good sign.
That is a good sign because the construction industry touches so many other industries.
Yes.
So when the construction industry is getting stronger, they create more jobs, which just helps things go, helps the economy get stronger and do those sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Before the break, you mentioned that part of the role of Fast Signs is to help somebody build a brand. What does that mean when you're saying you're helping somebody build a brand? What's involved in that thought?
Well, the whole idea is to get your name and your logo out in front of everybody, and that could be done through different methods. One would be a banner. We can make banners that look like billboards and put them on the side of a building. For quite a lot less money than just a regular billboard would cost. We can do vehicle graphics, vehicle wraps. We can do storefront window letter. We can wrap a window. We do a lot of work with some of the local retail shops, coffee shops, and malls where we actually put a giant billboard on the windows. And they have different types where you can actually have a perforated vinyl, which gets your message on the outside, but enables people to see out the window, so you're not blocking the view outside.
Right. So if somebody's starting a business from scratch, would you be a person they should go and talk to actually create a logo? Is that part of what you do?
Well, we have a network of graphic designers that we work with, and we will refer that out. We'll do some simple basic design, but most of our time is spent producing signs. I work with several local graphic designers and we refer them to that.
So somebody can come to you, have a conversation with you, and mm-hmm. you can explain the different things you can yes. create for them. And then getting the logo designed, maybe with the right tagline or whatever they want to do, mm-hmm. you've got a resource to help get that done. And then they can come back to you and you can put the product together that they want.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
So does that include does that include going digital? So right now everyone's involved in print media and – well, not involved now, but you know, historically we've always been focused on print media, but everything's now changing to digital. Mm-hmm. So is part of what you do in print, is do you do help people with print, or you've got printers you can refer people to as well?
Yes, we do. We can do like business cards and short-run brochures and table tents and things like that in-house. Okay. But it's a real niche-type market. The stuff that we produce in-house is designed for, like, say a guy has a restaurant and he only needs 25 table tents. If he goes to a commercial printer and he says, I need you to print me 25 table tents, they will laugh at him. No, you need to do 25,000.
Right.
We can do short-run stuff like that.
Yeah, okay. So the digital, I know you've got a lot of different digital products. So tell me some of the different digital things you put together.
Well, we do have the digital signage, as I mentioned earlier. That's a whole new, you know, people are starting to see them. Even at the movie theater, you'll see, rather than the traditional menu boards, there'll be digital menu boards. And so we do help people with that as well.
And so a digital, if you're in a restaurant and you're changing the menu, mm-hmm. is that a use of a digital sign?
Well, they do that.
Right.
Some of them still use the old fashioned. I was at McDonald's the other day, and it was they had a hand crank that actually changed the sign.
Yeah.
But now what they're doing, even in supermarkets, you're seeing digital signage everywhere.
I haven't worked out why gas stations haven't moved to a digital sign, because you see these poor people go out
and change the
price of the gas, and in 5 minutes later they're back changing the price again. Whereas if they had it all digital, push a few buttons and it's done. But they make somebody go out and put up the sign and take it down. Seems a lot of work for no great reward, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the marketing activities you do. Tell me about some of the things you do to attract business to you. Because where I met Robbie, Robbie's a great networker. He likes getting out and talking, and he was actually involved with a networking group called Successful Thinkers.
Yes, that's right.
And I met Robbie at Successful Thinkers, or I actually may have met Robbie at the Metro Chamber of Commerce. But he likes to get out and network and meet people. What are some of the marketing things you do to try and bring you business?
Well, one of the great things about when I was with Successful Thinkers, I still affiliate with them. We had a meetup group. We met every week, and we brought in speakers to talk about how to use social media to build your business. And social media has been a big part of my marketing efforts. I'm trying to build a social media presence. I look at your Facebook page, your business page, as being like your own radio or television station, and my goal is to get 5,000 likes to my page, and I do that several methods. Is one of the things that I do. I work with a lot of nonprofit organizations, and what I do for them is I'll make all their signs for their organization, and then for every Facebook like that they get me, I'll knock $5 off the cost of the invoice. So a nonprofit who's trying to, you know, have an event to raise money, they raise all this money, then they got to write a check for $1,000 for signs. Well, I've got a way where they don't have to do that. They just call me, we set it up, I make the signs, and for every like they get me, I knock $5 off the invoice. And most of the time, the signs end up being at no charge because I get enough likes from that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic thing. I love that. Love that idea that you do. You know, nonprofit, if you're listening, you have a nonprofit and you need some signs made, you know, with some good marketing techniques, Robbie will put the signs together for you. And if you get out there and bring him a like, each like will save you $5 off the purchase price. So that's very impressive. What's the reason you're chasing 5,000 likes? What's the magic number about 5,000
Well,
likes?
That's just a goal I've set for myself. Because I have, like, right now about almost close to 1,900, 1,890 likes. And when I make a post, probably 350 people will see it if I don't promote it, pay to have it promoted.
Yep.
But if the obviously the more likes you have, if I have 5,000 likes, then the odds are that when I make a post, 1,000 people will see the post. And if I promote it, you know, for you know, $20, $15, $20, probably I'm guessing maybe 10,000 to 15,000 people would see it.
So have you found Facebook a useful way to bring business to you?
Yes and no. I think the biggest challenge with Facebook, and we probably should talk about this, is that you know, the important thing about being successful is focus. And it's so easy to get distracted on Facebook. I get pulled away in the conversations or posts that people make. And so it's a double-edged sword. It can be a good method for building business, but it can be a real vacuum for your time.
Yep. So so Facebook's a place where you spend your time. Mm-hmm. What else? Do you spend much time on Twitter?
I do Twitter as well. I have tweets that go out for specific companies that I'm targeting. And I'm still in the early stages of that marketing plan. But so far it's working well because I can set something up and let it go and I have to do it. It's all automated.
Automated. And you're able to measure the results from what you're doing?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I've been able to.
And the measurements, you're happy with the time you're spending doing that?
Well, for the amount of time that I'm spending, it's working great. The challenge is that I need to spend more time on direct marketing on those areas, and I can go to work better.
Robbie, we're out of time. I want to thank you for coming and being a guest this morning. If you're listening and need a sign made quickly, Robbie Ricks at fastsigns.com//112. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. The show went quick this morning. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.